Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
Found his life going on and all together. I think about a person who would write something like this would be somebody who's got it all together. But when you read, when you understand where this was written, it was written by a man named Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it not from a penthouse. He wrote it from a jail cell. He was in prison. He was incarcerated. He was in jail. He was in a cell. And there he is in a cell. And I don't know if you've ever been in a cell, and it's okay if you have, and if you haven't, that's okay too. But if you have, they're not very comfortable. There's nothing in there. It's just like a little bowl. It's a little steel bed and some bars. And yet, this man, the Apostle Paul, writes these words while in the middle of a pit, while in the middle of a dark, despondent situation. He says these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Well, how is it that a person can write something like this while his circumstances seem so bad? It's not the kind of place I would think about rejoicing in. You know what I'm saying? For me, the idea of rejoicing is probably sitting on a beach in Fiji. Anybody else rejoice like that? I'd be rejoicing like that. In fact, we've got a couple who are going to Fiji. It's amazing. That's probably the kind of place I think of rejoicing. But he's in a jail cell. He's in prison. Life is not going his way. And he can say rejoice. Well, the reason that he can say rejoice is because gratitude is not circumstantial. Gratitude is not dependent upon what's going on around me. Gratitude is a decision. Gratitude is a choice. I can choose to be grateful in the middle of everything that I'm going through. Isn't it true that today we have many things to be, there are many things that like in this, today's society, very materialistic society, we hear about all the things we don't have. Well, I just bought a new iPhone last year. And then just like 2 months ago, or 1 month ago, they released the new iPhone. My old iPhone was perfect until they released the new one. And then what make it even worse, we went to the Vodafone shop, my wife and I, and she bought the new one and didn't buy one for me. And isn't it true that we can look around at all those things and think about the things that we don't have? I don't have that. I don't have the latest thing. I don't have this. But God is calling us to say, hey, listen, maybe there are some things you don't have, but there are many more things that you do have that you can be grateful for in the name of Jesus. Gratitude is one of the most incredible emotions that God gives to us. Gratitude has been researched and it's been shown to have many benefits. Let me give you some of them. Gratitude improves your emotional life. It improves your emotional life by making you happier. Gratitude makes us feel good when we experience it. And in addition, it helps us notice what is already good in our lives instead of what is bad. Gratitude reduces depression. That's worth getting grateful for just by itself. Gratitude increases our resilience. You're more resilient when you've got gratitude. Gratitude improves our self-esteem. Gratitude makes you aware of the good that other people do for you, and as a result, you feel loved on, cared for, and appreciated. Gratitude improves your physical health. Research has shown that gratitude improves your sleep. Amen for that. Come on. Sleep, I don't know what that is. I mean, I lost that as soon as I had children, and they came along and, sleep, they came in and sleep left. But gratitude improves your sleep. Gratitude will make you exercise more often. How funny is that? There you go. Gratitude will make, a study showed that people who keep gratitude journals exercise 33% more. Yeah. So if you want to exercise more, then get a gratitude journal. Yeah, amen. No, not a lot of amens on that one, but that's okay. Hey, gratitude reduces pain. Gratitude lowers blood pressure. Gratitude strengthens our immune system. Gratitude lowers stress. Gratitude helps you live longer. Amen. Gratitude makes you a more understanding, compassionate, helpful, and kind person. Gratitude makes people like you better. There you go. You have more friends. Gratitude improves your relationships. I think I said that. There's a couple more here. Let me just give you a couple more. Gratitude improves your decision making. You can make decisions better. How many have ever had, like, you know, analysis paralysis? There's so many things you just can't decide which one. It's like, you know, sometimes at night, you know, you want to chill out, watch TV, and you just go, you know, you just go flick through all the channels, and you can't decide what to watch. Gratitude makes us more creative. Gratitude increases our productivity. Gratitude increases goal achievement. And here's the last few. Gratitude makes us more humble. Gratitude and humility go hand in hand. Gratitude makes us less self-centered. Gratitude makes us more kind and giving. Gratitude reduces materialistic thinking. In fact, one of the reasons that there's so much discontent in the world is because there's an increase in materialism. So gratitude makes us less materialistic, and gratitude makes us more optimistic. It's amazing to me that these are all scientifically researched benefits of gratitude that the Lord knew many years ago, that the Lord began to speak to us about through His scriptures. And so today there are three things that I want to talk to you about when it comes to having an attitude of gratitude. Learn from the Apostle Paul. Number one, if we want to have an attitude of gratitude, it requires a changed focus. A changed focus. It means that we have to look for the good. We've got to be people who are looking for the good. Verse 9, he says it like this: whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about such things. He's saying, listen, don't focus on what's bad, but focus on what's good. Did you know that to focus on what's bad is a default? It is just normal. In fact, the world is normal. It's, you know, the world is negative, and that is normal. It's not helpful, and it's not productive, but it is normal. But God has called us to be men and women of the kingdom. And so we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And he teaches us. He says, listen, here's, just in case you were confused about what to think about, what to focus on, here it is. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think. Everyone say, think. Say it nice and loud, think. Think about these things. He's saying, hey, listen, when it comes to your mind, this is the bullseye. The bullseye is all of these things. And you stand guard at your mind. Don't let people with dirty thinking and dirty feet walk through your mind. But keep them out. The Bible says if you think about these things, whatever's X and O's, you know, he says, think about these things. And as you think about these things, then we will change our focus and have an attitude of gratitude. So we've got to look for the good. I don't know about you, but I've got three children, and I don't know what it is, but it's always real easy to see the things that they're not doing right. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't do that, don't do that. And if you're not careful, you find yourself saying, don't do that all day. So we have to change our focus, and instead of pointing out what's not good, point out what is good. Focus on what is good. We must change our focus. A missionary was in Brazil many years ago, and he had some family members come to visit him, and he had the week planned. He was going to take them sightseeing to these famous waterfalls, and so they came, and the trip started, and by the time they got there, they were delayed at the airport. They were delayed for 10 hours. So delayed for 10 hours at the airport. By the time they leave the airport, they're tired. They want to get to the hotel. On the way to the hotel, it starts bucketing down with rain. As they get to the hotel and it's raining, they get to the hotel, they put their stuff down, and they go off to this waterfall. This is in the days of video cameras. So this is many years ago. But he'd bought this brand new video camera. And with this video camera, he planned to go to these falls and record it. Well, on the way there, unbeknown to him, because he wasn't very good technologically, he accidentally pressed record on the camera on the way to the falls. Well, cameras, unlike phones today, they had a very short battery life back then. So by the time he arrived at the falls, the battery was flat on the video camera. So he gets there and he pulls out the camera and the camera's flat. And he's like, oh, I can't record it. I came all the way here, brought my family, I can't record it. And it was flat. He put it back in his bag and he went home. On the way home, it was still raining. And by the time he got back to the hotel, plugged in the video camera, he discovered that the video camera was broken because it drowned in water. So that happens. While he was there, his wife calls him because they'd parked a rental car. And the wife calls him and says, the car is not starting. There's something wrong with this car. And so he goes over, you know, checks out the car. He calls a tow truck. The tow truck comes. They wait 4 hours for a tow truck. The tow truck comes. The guy's there. He says, listen, you want to try and start the car one more time, but just, you know, start it in neutral. So he gets in the car, starts the car in neutral, and the car starts. And then he says to the tow repair guy, hey, thank you so much for helping me. And he says, no, you still have to pay me. So he had to pay the guy to come and watch him start the car in neutral. So the guy left, and then on the way back, as he was heading back home, he began to get these thoughts. He was angry. Far out. I'm trying to have a good time with my family. He's a missionary. He's a man of God. I'm angry. And he began to have a self-pity party. And in the middle of that moment, as he arrived up to the hotel, he was walking into the door and he met a little boy. This is in Brazil. He met a little boy, a nine-year-old boy. A nine-year-old boy who had no shirt. He was barefoot and he was dirty. And this nine-year-old boy came up to him and he said, Senor, do you have any money? And so this man reached into his pocket. And he gave him a $1, which is a lot of money for him. And he gave this boy that money, and he walked into the hotel. What happened was, in that moment, that little boy, unbeknown to him, was like an angel of the Lord. Because he looked upon this interaction with this boy, understanding how his day has gone so far. Thought about this boy. This boy would have been happy to wait at the airport for 10 hours. He'd be happy to wait just to go on a plane. This boy would have been happy to, you know, just to watch any video, that's any period of time. He would have been happy just to have any of that. This car, his car that had been, you know, stuck and waiting on a tow truck, this boy, who looked like he didn't have a home, would have been happy just to sit in the car for all of those 4 hours waiting for this tow truck guy. And so, in that encounter, as he's meeting this boy, he realized that, in fact, let me read it to you like this. He realized that we cry over spilled champagne. We complain about the lack of necessities, not about the lack of necessities, sorry, but the abundance of benefits. We complain about the bellyache over the frills, not the basics over benefits, not essentials. The problem, the source of the problem is our blessings. And so in order to shift our attitude, we need to change our focus. And if we change our focus, we change our thinking. And if we change our thinking, then we can change our attitude in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody say, change focus. Point number two. When it comes to having an attitude of gratitude, look for blessing. Look for it. Touch someone next to you and say, look for the blessing. Look for the blessing. Seek it out. The Apostle Paul writes again and again in verse 10 to 13. He survived many shipwrecks. He's been through all this trial and this turmoil. He's been through all of this tribulation. He's had many things that have come against him, but he's still alive. He's had many things that have not gone his way, but he's still alive. He has survived. He knows where he's ultimately going to end up. He knows that God is with him. In other words, Paul is making a decision to look for the blessing. Hey, I wonder how many times in our own lives we're looking for blessing out there. We're looking for blessing that somebody else has. We're looking for the blessing that somebody else drives. We're looking for the blessing that somebody else does. When God is saying, no, 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 you've got to look for the blessing right where you are now. There is blessing all around you. Maybe you don't have everything you want. Maybe you're not where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be in the name of Jesus. We've got to look for the blessing. Hey, and you know, what is it that is good that we can see in our spouses? Amen, somebody. What is it, you know, we can see that's good in our children? Yes, maybe they're not, you know, maybe they're not perfect, but nobody is. But there is a blessing there if you seek it out, and if you search for it, you will discover. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. So let's be a people who are not looking to point out what's bad in the world. But let's be people who are looking to point out what's good in the world. That doesn't mean that we ignore things. It means that we see them, but we choose to live on a higher level. We choose to focus on what is good. We must look for the blessing. There are many survivors of cancer. In fact, there are survivors of cancer in this room. And there was an 8-year-old girl, a girl named Christina, who had cancer of the nervous system. And when she was asked on her birthday, what do you want? What do you want for your birthday? Understanding that at this point in time, it may have been her last birthday. Her parents said to her, what is it that you want for your birthday? She thought long and hard. She said, I don't know. She said, I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I think I have everything I need. Come on. Hey, maybe we don't have everything that we want. Maybe we don't have the millions of dollars. Maybe we don't have whatever it is. But whatever we have, let's be grateful for it. If you've got a roof over your head, hey, if you've got health in your body, hey, if you've got children, then let's be thankful to God and look to the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And number 3. So number 1, we've got to change our focus. Number 2, we've got to look for the blessing. And number 3, remember the good. Remember the good. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and many are trapped into foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man or woman of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Just to be clear, money's not evil, but the love of money is. God wants you to be blessed. God's not saying that you have to be poor to be happy. But what he is saying is that don't let the possessions be the source of your happiness. He's saying this. He's saying, listen, this. We brought nothing into the world. You can't take anything out of it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember the good. Sometimes I think for many of us, we fall into this, but they're doing so much better. Oh, but they're having another holiday. I haven't been on holiday for 2 weeks. Oh, but they're doing all this stuff. And well, maybe they are doing all that stuff. Truth is, probably, especially if it's on social media, they probably just, you know, bought a set and created it and they're faking it. But maybe we don't have all of those things. But there are a lot of things that we do have. And if we choose to remember the good, then we can receive an attitude of gratitude. Sadly, we remember things when we lose them. And let's never live like that. Let's not wait till people are on their deathbed to tell them we love them. Let's tell them we love them today. Let's not wait until a certain moment, certain crises, a certain health challenge reminds us, flip, of what we've got. Instead, let's remember what we've got now. Let's remember the wife of our youth. Hey, let's remember the blessing of the Lord Hey, let's remember what our life used to be like before we came to Christ. Let's remember all the good things that he's done. Let's make a decision to remember the good. We've got to focus on it and remember the good. Recently, I was sitting down with my middle child and Nicole, and she was upset. And she came to me and she says, "Daddy, Daddy." I said, "Yes, darling." She was crying. I said, "What's the matter, darling?" She said, "Oh, there were some kids at school and they exclude me. They don't include me." And I said, "Oh, that's not good, darling." Then she says, "And I want to exclude them too." I said, darling, doesn't matter what they do to you. You can't control what they do to you. But you have 100% control of what you do to them. So even if they exclude you, darling, we include them. Why should I? I said, because God's been good for you. He's been good to you. Well, it doesn't feel like God's been good to me. I'm good to them. Why isn't he good to me? I said, the Lord is good to you. She says, no, he's not. I said, my darling, do you have a bed? She says, yes, Daddy. I said, do you have your own bedroom with your own bed in it? That's just yours? Yes, Daddy. I said, darling, do you have food to take to school for lunch? She says, yes, Daddy, every day. I said, darling, do you have parents who love you? Two parents who love you? Yes, Daddy. I said, do you have amazing friends at church? She says, yes, Daddy. I said, darling, do you have clothes on your back? Yes, Daddy. Do you have school uniforms? Yes, Daddy. I said, do you have breakfast before you go to school every day? Yes, Daddy. I said, well, darling, sounds to me like the Lord's been good to you then. And so often, we remember what's bad. But come on. We're going to give an attitude of gratitude. And we're going to remember what's good. We're going to remember what's good. And so today, right here in this place, maybe you're here today and, you know, and this happens for all of us. Just lose a bit of focus sometimes on the journey. Sometimes the journey happens and, you know, sometimes we can become discouraged. Life happens. But the amazing thing about God is that His grace is sufficient. And so, right across this room, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads? I want to pray for you today. Because maybe in here you've been, in fact, even now I sense it. Maybe some of us in this room, we're a little bit like my Nicole. Why does God do that to other people? He's not that good to me. But today, we're going to come back and we're going to remember the good. We're going to come back and we're going to embody an attitude of gratitude. We're going to change our focus. We're going to look for the blessing. And so maybe that's you here today. I just want to pray for you. If you're like, well, yeah, I've just lost my way a little bit. And I need God just to come and recheck my heart. Just pour in His Spirit. So if that's you today, with every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody look around, no pressure. But if that's you here today, and you're saying, hey, yeah, that's me. I just want you to lift your hands to heaven all across this room. I want to pray for you. And you're saying, God, just help me just to recheck my heart. Lord, yep, lift your hands up. Yep, I can see all your hands going up. Yep, hands going up all over this place. And saying, God, I just need to realign my heart. And the psalmist says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Ask not the Holy Spirit of me. But restore unto me the joy of your salvation. So God, right now, for every person
who's lifted their hands, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd fill their heart. And Lord God, we pray for a thinking adjustment. We pray, Lord God, for a heart adjustment. And we thank you, Lord God, that you fill us. You fill us to overflowing. And I thank you, Lord God, that we have many things to be grateful for. And that, Lord God, help us to focus on what's good. Cause us, Lord God, to have a perspective of gratitude and of optimism and of hope. And we thank you, God, for all that you do.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.